But the people thirsted there for water, and the people complained against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and livestock with thirst? You know, without water, we surely will die." But Jesus said, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink from the water that I give them, they will never be thirsty. The water that I give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." We're going to take a look at this lengthy reading that we had about the Samaritan woman. We're going to explore the words that Jesus had to say to her, powerful words that not only apply to her, but also to us in our dry and thirsty world. And before we do that, let's join our hearts in prayer. Lord, every time we gather, we are your people and you are in our midst. You tell us that in Scripture. And Lord, when we gather in moments like this on Sunday mornings, sometimes it's a rush to get here. Sometimes there's lots of things happening at home or things that may be happening later on today, and we've got our minds sort of still rotating around those things. Help us to set aside these distractions this morning, Lord. Help us to hear your word spoken through Scripture. Speak to us, Holy Spirit, and fill us with that true living water, as Jesus said, that we'll never be thirsty again. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So last week we talked about Nicodemus and an encounter that Jesus had with somebody who had some questions for him. So someone came to him with questions. They came at nighttime and they came in secret. In this particular story today, Jesus is not being approached by someone with questions. He in fact approaches this person and has some questions for them. And it's in the middle of the day as well. Now, before I can go much further, I have to explain, I think, a little bit about this idea of Samaritans. Samaritans has become a word, again, that we've just got around it. And if you say Samaritans in Britain, I think it's at the suicide help. So that, you know, helping. And when we hear the word Good Samaritan, we think, well, Good Samaritan, somebody that helps. Now, the term Samaritan is not something that was looked at very positively to the Jewish community in Jesus' time. And that negative kind of approach that people had in the way that they're seen is talked about at least 10 different, or 9 different times, rather, in the Gospels. We have the Samaritan woman that we hear today. We have a Samaritan village that rejected a request from messengers traveling ahead of Jesus for hospitality. In Luke, we have Jesus telling his disciples to spread the word, not just to all the Gentiles, not just to the Samaritan cities, but to the entire world. We also have that parable of the Good Samaritan. Jesus heals 10 lepers, and only one comes back, and he's a Samaritan. The Samaritan woman, as we have today, as I've mentioned, we have Jesus is accused of being a Samaritan himself in the Gospel of John. There's many examples throughout Acts as well. We're talking about Samaritans. They are a people. They are a community. And it's according to what I've been able to look up as of January 2015, there were only 777 Samaritans left in the Middle East at this present moment, half of whom live where this mountain's talked about that the Samaritan woman references in Jesus, Mount Gerizim. And that's where we begin our problems between the two groups of people. According to the Samaritans, it was on Mount Gerizim that Abraham was commanded by God to offer Isaac his son as a sacrifice in Genesis 22. And the Jewish people did not see that as a particularly holy place. They saw Jerusalem as the city that David had built the temple on. So the Samaritan people believed that Mount Gerizim is where God lived. And so they're Jewish in some respect, but as far as the Jewish people were concerned in Jesus' day, they didn't quite have it right. They then got bypassed in all kinds of ways. I was trying to think of an analogy that might help us understand sort of some of the attitude maybe that was had. And I thought, well, when you think of, in conversation here in Canada, we think of people from Toronto as being kind of snobby and rich and blue suitish and all that sort of stuff. And I thought, well, you know, there's a rivalry between Toronto and Hamilton that goes on kind of like that, but it's really kind of Toronto and the rest of Canada very often, because as I've traveled around and you get talking to people, you know, you're from Toronto, you know. Well, it's kind of that way. I mean, there's more to it, I suppose, but it's kind of that, oh, you're from Toronto. So if somebody just walked up to you and said, oh, you're from Samaria, we're not going to talk to you. And so in that story that Jesus tells about the Good Samaritan, he's talking about somebody that was in trouble, beat up at the side of the road, and three different people come by, and the last one is the Samaritan. Well, a guy from Toronto would never stop his car and get out and help you, is the way they would be thinking of that. He'd just carry on in his BMW and go home. And Jesus says in that particular story, the Samaritan actually stopped and helped that person. That's the last person you would think would help somebody. That's the last person you would think. So when Jesus meets this woman, he's talking to somebody that normally everybody would avoid because of where she was from. Geographically, as I started that story off, if Jesus was here in Burlington, we'll call that where he started in this particular story, he's going to walk to Waterdown. It's doable. It's walkable. You know, you could do it in a day or so. And that's Galilee. But in between here and Waterdown is Aldershot. And people from Aldershot, oof, not going to talk to those people. In fact, I can get to Waterdown by foot. I don't have to go to Aldershot because that's out on East Plains Road. I can go up to Dundas and across. I'll just avoid Aldershot altogether. But in this particular story, Jesus chose to go to Aldershot, which is Samaria, which is Sychar. He chose to go through the place that most people avoided. And while he was there, he was sitting at this well, Jacob's well, as we heard, and this woman comes up to him and starts to talk to him. Now, another thing that takes place, a rabbi, a Jewish teacher of his day, wouldn't necessarily have an open conversation with a woman in those days. Not the kind of conversation he had. So that's why the disciples were kind of shocked. Not only is he talking to a Samaritan, he's talking to a Samaritan woman. Like, this isn't really what you do. And we can see the conversation that Jesus has with her. He starts out talking about something very literal, very much like he did with Nicodemus. You have to be born again, he said to Nicodemus. And Nicodemus didn't get that because what do I got to do, climb back in my mother and come back out again? Is that what you mean? No. He explained it more spiritually. Jesus says, if you drink this water from this well, you're going to be thirsty. But I can give you water that you'll never be thirsty again. Well, I've got a bucket. Can you give me some of that, please? She says. Jesus says, you're not quite getting the point here. I'm that living water. I'm that living water. And I read that scripture very intentionally, if you caught that, when Jesus says to her who he is. I'm trying to find that very quickly here in my scripture reading. Verse 26, it says, I am he, comma, the one who's speaking to you. And I read it, I am he, the one who is speaking to you. Because the phrase there would have been Yahweh, I am, God's name. He spoke God's name when he said, I am. And the woman would have been quite taken aback by that. She would have been quite taken aback because I know the Messiah is coming, she said. I know that we're waiting for this person who's going to be of God, who's going to have the power to say, I am God. But I'm not sure if it's you. I'm not sure if it's you. And then Jesus tells her something that only the people in the town would know of Sychar. Only the people in my analogy, only the people in Aldershot would know. The little tiny community, they knew everything about everybody else. And we know people who have maybe lived in small towns ourselves. Everybody knows everybody's business. So in the town of Sychar, everybody knew everything about this lady. It's not the fact that she's divorced and been remarried. That's not the issue. The fact of the matter is, a stranger from another area who normally doesn't come here, sitting at this well, minding his own business, this woman walks up to him and he says, you know what, you did this and 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 this. She's astonished by that. How can this guy possibly know all the details of my life? I know that Messiah is coming. You said, I am. You've told me everything about me, and you talked about living water. Maybe you are the Messiah. Maybe you are the Christ, the living God. And what did she do? She ran around and she told all her friends, there's a guy over at the well, hanging out there, knows everything about me. I've never met him before. How could he possibly know everything about me? And you know what? He talked about living water. You know what else? He talked about being the Messiah. He talked about I am. And the people said, well, that's interesting. Maybe we'll get this guy to hang around a little further. So a group of Samaritans, a group of Torontonians, walked over to some people from person from Hamilton and said, why don't you just stay for a while? No strings attached. We just want to talk to you for a while. And he spent 2 days there. And he continued to tell them, it's not accounted in there, but it says, many more believed because of his word. My imagination in that says, maybe he sat in a room having dinner with some people, and he walked around and said, you know, I know all about you, and I know all about you, and I know all about you, because I am, because God is in me. And they said to that woman, when Jesus left their presence, it is no longer because of what you said, the woman, to us, no longer what you said that we believe, for now we have heard ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world. Jesus was in their midst and proved beyond a shadow of a doubt to a bunch of people who didn't believe the same thing that all the Jewish people did necessarily, that suddenly I am is in their presence. I am is in our presence this morning. The living water that Christ talks about is available to all of us at any time. Unfortunately, we can very often be like the people in the desert. Because the people thirsted there for water, and we often do, and the people complained against Moses, why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst? Sometimes we complain to God too. What's the point of doing all this stuff? What's the point of being a Christian person? It's a hassle. I got to show up to church every week. I got to go to meetings. I got to pray. I got to read Bible stuff. Come on. Without water, we would surely die. But Jesus said, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink the water I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them, in all of us, a spring of water gushing up to eternal life. We drink that water when we come to church and gather in God's name. We drink that water when we pray. We drink that water when we read the scriptures. We drink that water when we act in God's name. Let us drink of that water always. Let's bow our heads. Gracious God, we thank you that we are able to come to you and freely drink of that water. The grace that Paul talks about in Romans is freely given. It's a love for people that were unlovable. It's a offer of help to someone that shouldn't be helped. We are that Samaritan people in some ways, Lord, where everybody would avoid us just because of who we are in our sinfulness. But you loved us anyway. You gave Christ for all of us. And we drink of that water. Those who drink of the water that is Jesus will never be thirsty again. The water that is Jesus in our lives will become in all of us a spring of water gushing up to eternal life. Lord, help us to be like the people in this story with the Samaritan woman. It's no longer because of just what we've been told, but that we have heard for ourselves and know that you truly are the Savior of the world. And in each of our hearts, we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Jesus talks to the Samaritan woman and says, see how the fields are ripe for harvest. Already God is gathering fruit for eternal life. With rejoicing, let us offer our lives, our tithes, and our offerings to God.